Welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me,
Chris Jett.
Coco Loco time. I'm on Coco Loco time. Coco Loco time. John Wayne, also spoiling the surprise, here we are with me here in the Neon Palace of Sin in fabulous downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Chris Jett is joining me all the way from Houston, Texas. Chris.
Hi, I'm John Wayne. How are you?
Hi, Chris. I'm Chris. Welcome. You are very good at turning me on. So, welcome, everybody. It's been a few weeks, but I've been on the road, and it's been, a time. And, we'll talk about that, but I'm happy to be here now, back in Las Vegas. I'm happy to have one of my very best friends, if not the best friend I probably have, Chris Jett.
Mr. Black.
Second, the other half of John Wayne is Dead, the band. And if you guys have been, first of all, if you're new to the show, welcome. I appreciate it if I just met you maybe on this last run I did, or you're just checking it out. Welcome to the show. We talk about all kinds of stuff that I'm doing on the road, stories from my life. But one of the big things that's been going on, the biggest release, the biggest thing I've been talking about promoting is our new record, the new John Wayne is Dead record, Who Hurt You. If you have been listening, we've been talking about it like crazy. But we're going to be talking about that. Excuse you. But we're talking about a bunch of stuff. But before we get any further, I am here, of course. Like I said, I'm in the Neon Palace of Sin in Las Vegas, Nevada. I went to Oasis earlier. Chris came with me.
I did go. I did. I was there.
Yeah. As you know, not branded content. Oasis is my local dispensary, and I will always support it. Amazing, amazing time. I haven't been there in over a month since I've been out of town. I visited another dispensary in New Jersey. I'll talk about that, but we're what are we smoking today, Chris? You're not smoking anything, Chris. You're a good Christian boy. Waiting for the rapture. But I am smoking. What is this? This is,
I'm smoking a beer right now.
You are. We're smoking a beer, but what is this called?
Weed?
No, but what's...
Oh, kids call it flower.
Oh, shut up. Zooties. That's what this strain is. It's called Zooties. Sorry, this is a strain. This is a company, actually. This is the second time I've gotten their stuff, and I actually got 2/8 of their stuff, Hustler's Ambition. And it looks all gangstery on the cover or on the packaging. But this is sitting at a nice 28%, almost 29% THC. Or no, I'm sorry. This is at a 25. The other one's 28. This is a 25% one. I got another one of their strains as well. So I'm sitting here. I'm having a good old time. Having a beer. Chris and I had rehearsal earlier, so we came for that. We're not drinking coffee. We're drinking beer. We just had a nice fine lunch at...
Pizza.
At Pizza. Mm-hmm. At Evil Pie. Again, not branded content, but Jesus Christ, they should sponsor us. Because we... If Chris is in town, he and I are eating... If you don't know what Evil Pie is, and we don't mean evil like E-V-I-L. E-V-E-L. Evil Knievel. If you come to Las Vegas, downtown, it's called Evil Pie. It's right off of Fremont Street. Dude, you can't... Anytime, we've been rehearsing already since, 10 a.m. or even maybe earlier than that. And you get a slice of cheese pizza, which is as big as your head. All right? You don't need any more. You don't need anything else. And a beer, the Evil Knievel beer, which is a fine lager or pilsner, whatever the fuck it is.
It's a beer.
It's a light beer.
Sake for being beer.
Yeah, and it's $8 for that. That's awesome. I don't care where you're from. Especially when you're in Las Vegas, where are you going to get a beer and something that's going to fill your stomach up for $8? And I don't want to hear about your fucking swallow jobs. Evil Pie, yeah. Evil Pie, so...
I pay $8 for a swallow job, or I get $8 for a swallow job.
Depends on what day it is, man. But no, so we did that, but... So one of the things... So first of all, like I said, guys, I've been on the road for over a month.
You were at my house.
I was at Chris's house for when I started it, and then I ended it, and Chris is at my house. So how about that?
Full circle.
For you. full circle. I did a lot of things in that month, that time. I went, like I said, I went to Houston, and Chris and I were doing rehearsals, prepping for a tour that we're supposed to be on right now. But more on that later. But we needed to get rehearsals in. We had a great time. And also we played a show in Houston promoting the release of the record, which is on cassette now. So if you don't have the fucking cassette, you're slipping.
They're going fast.
They are going a lot faster than I thought they would, honestly. So if you want one, they come in neon pink and neon green. Go to johnwayneisdead.com. That's the only place you can get them besides the website. The vinyl will be out in a couple months, but it's streaming everywhere. And it's going really well. And like, I'm having a blast, at least I don't speak for you, playing these songs and putting it together. We had a great show in Houston at Acadia. And Acadia is one of those places, I've talked about it before, you know, it's like a kind of a bar in the suburbs, but it's you could drop it in the dirtiest fucking place ever. There's like 11,000 cigarettes get smoked in there a day, I think, probably.
Now you can do hookah there.
Oh, they have a hookah lounge, and they put couches and hookah in there. Like that's gonna like
it's really trying to church it up.
I mean, come on, you know they know their name is Dirt, not Dirte. It really is. But this is also a place that we played at a bunch of fucking times in a bunch of different bands for fucking years. And the same sound guy, he's got to be 112, charmed by a wizard. Tommy, if you're listening to this. God bless you. You're not. I doubt you know how to listen to podcasts. But anyway, Tommy's great. He's a great sound guy, and he really has built that club up. He's put a lot of work into the sound and the lights. But we had a great show there. And then from there, I went to Kentucky, Bowling Green. I did a show there, and then I went, of course, out to New Jersey, did Cherry Hill. And all the while, like, we are supposed to be having... like as soon as I got back from Cherry Hill, I'm expecting to pick Chris up from the airport, and we're going to do 6 dates in a row, starting in Reno, and come down the coast, like Reno, San Francisco, Sacramento, LA, something else, San Diego, and Las Vegas. So we were doing that with some friends of ours and another awesome band. Please check them out. Billy Doom is Dead. Now, no relation. Also, and I've spoken about this before, we didn't know each other. Like, we just met each other within a year, probably, or so. So that it's not like we knew of each other, and someone was like, oh, I'll do this, and I'm like, John Wayne is Dead, I've had forever, and it's the name of the band, and it's my handle and all that stuff. I don't know what the significance is for Billy, but...
His name is Billy.
Okay, fine. But... We didn't know each other. Like, it's completely random. Completely random. Because this is, like, very close. It's just, like, if we were, like, less than Jake and less than Ralph or something were playing together, you know? I mean, like, that's about the same fucking thing, you know? So, these guys, nice enough to add us to these, like, these dates.
West Coast dates,
of
yeah.
The West Coast dates of their tour. They're from Florida. Which, I'm sure they can't help that. But, no. They're from Florida and...
It's America's Wang, right?
Yeah. America's droopy Wang. And but you know, and this happens a lot, a lot more than like you would like it to happen. But they had a we'll get all the details, but they had a booker that was in charge of booking all their shit,
booking, promoting,
and you pay this person to book the dates, and he took their money and said, here are your dates, and he did not book any of them. So you know, it's a fucked up situation. So definitely, like, they lost 25 dates. We just lost 6 dates. So go, like, definitely support Billy Doom is Dead. Check them out. Stream their stuff, whatever you can. Support them if they're coming to your town. I know if you live in Florida, which we have Florida listeners, go check them out. They play a lot.
They play all the time.
But that shit happens. And it sucks because... trying to like eke out a living in music, especially, or the arts in any way, is hard enough as it is. But you don't need, like, you add on top of that, people are trying to take advantage of
small,
like, you don't have, like, it's not like they're, you know, we're not big bands. We don't have a lot of money. We have no money. And the money we're scraping together to do things like this.
Put right back into it.
It goes right back into it. But then, like, you put all this together to do this, and then somebody just takes it and is like, peace. I mean, that's pretty fucked up. So, you know, check them out. It happened. You know, we're not crying about it. You know, shit happens. We're not mad. We're definitely not mad.
We've had a good time.
Definitely not mad at them. But, you know, we decided Chris, you know, still come out here.
I already had the plan booked.
We found out within, you know, a week or so of you coming out here anyway.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, you know, it was, you know, we just come on out and we'll figure it out. We have been rehearsing every day since you've been here, with the exception of yesterday when we had a hangover recoup day. But we've been fucking ripping the set, and we've written some new songs. And, you know, and we're filming a new, music video.
Yeah, we're trying.
We're getting all the footage for it. But we also, like, listeners out there, if you haven't checked out the music video that we did put out, Nick P shot and chopped by him, directed. It's on our YouTube
practice space
page. In the practice space in Houston.
Rad spot.
Yep, very rad spot. It's up on our on johnmoneysdead.com. If you go to the music section, there's a, you know, it's embedded there. You can check it out, but it's on YouTube. It's everywhere. Check it out. But, you know, also the album is streaming everywhere. So please check it out. John Wayne is Dead. Search it. All one word, no spaces. It'll come up. And the new album is called Who Hurt You. And, you know, we've been having a good time together playing music these past few days. You know, we lost the shows, but like I said, we're making the best of it. I think we're doing well. We're eating a lot of pizza.
So,
Getting a lot of pizza and beer and playing songs and having a good time. One thing I think is very cool that we got to do is Saturday night, we went to the Punk Rock Museum, which, you know, listeners, like, you know, it's here in Las Vegas.
Home away from home.
I love that place. The bar, Triple Down, shouts out. But we got to see Sam King from Co-Defendants, who we love. Chris turned me on to Co-Defendants. And Get Dead, of course. He was there doing a DJ set. So Scarlet, the lovely Scarlet, took us out there. And we had a good time chatting with them and stuff. Or, you know, hope, you know, maybe be on his podcast soon. Stay tuned, be on this podcast. But, you know, and I've always given you credit for that, Chris. Like, I went to your house, you know, whatever, last year. It was November. Wasn't it when we were recording the record?
It could have been.
I think we were doing the actual tracking for the record. You were like, gotta listen to these guys. Like, but that's not shit on. Like, I don't know why you sound like Tommy there, but
hey guys,
you gotta listen to this record. You're like, you gotta listen to this record. And then you put on the record, and I was like, this is fucking awesome. You're like, I know it's awesome. And you're like punching me in the nuts and stuff. And then you were like, you gotta watch this short film that they did, which In Decline is a part of that, the art collective. And they filmed it, some of it, right down the street from here, Chris.
Yeah.
At the Murder Mart.
Murder Mart.
Where we've gone, we go buy it to get coffee, we go there, we've gotten beer there, we've gotten a lot of Gatorade, electrolyte fucking Pedialyte shits or whatever, yeah.
They got a deli in there.
Yeah, they've got all that stuff, but it's
a couple janky slot machines.
Of course, the jankiest, dude, everywhere's got them. But it was very cool, man. We like, this is a band that we both really like and is making a lot of traction. And it just is a very cool, like, small world type of thing to be like, hey, we get to, like, just hang out. And this guy's, like, cool, whatever, you know. I don't know. What do you think about that kind of stuff?
It's cool.
All right. Always good. Always good input from Chris.
Yep.
He was
a good dude.
He's super nice. Like, yeah, we've met him. I've met him a few times at the other shows we've been. And then we went to this, and it was very cool. But we went to this bar called Oddfellows, and it was not a bill of lading. Like, it was not a bar.
It was a dance club.
That was a club, and I'm not into that. I like Norm, our buddy, bartending, shouts out.
They had a line out the door.
It's not, like, if you want to, like,
cover charge.
If you want to pay a cover in downtown Las Vegas and wait in line and get crammed into a cram hole.
And not even have a discount on drinks for paying to cover.
And even, yeah, and not even, like, whatever, but go there. Then it's great. It's just for you. Not for us, though. Not my kind of favorite place. They do have emo nights there.
I hear that's good.
But, yeah, but still, if it's that packed, I'm not Fuck that, dude. I can listen to... I have rocks that need emoing at home. You know what I mean? Like, I can sit in my... I can sit here in the office and cry. Okay? I don't need to go to the fucking crowded ass fucking club. But yeah, so...
Unless you sponsor us, we'll be there every day.
Yes, or we'll have our fucking lookalikes, like McBain, the McBain lookalike. Hi, guys. I live in his truck. But... I'm soaking this weed. Chris.
That's good weed. Blah, blah, blah.
So, like I said, I you know, been on this past time on the road, and I've been talking about this. It's been getting harder and harder. And this is not like a, oh, poor me situation. I'm not. I just like to talk to you guys out there and just tell you how it is. It's a lot of driving and a lot of craziness by myself. And this last one in particular, like, I thought I was ready. I thought maybe I was recharged. But I wanted to jerk the wheel into a goddamn bridging embankment so many times, Tommy Boy style. Have a new guy in the corner puking his guts out while the paddy wagon comes. Because it's gotten to a point where it's not fun to drive 38 hours by yourself anymore. I can't just get fucked up out of my mind and do these drives, because that's, first of all, like, dangerous, not sustainable. You know, I it's just so boring. And Boney won't get his fucking learning permit to drive. So I am, you know, I've talked to Chris about this and Scarlett. You know, I'm trying to figure out a new way. And I know I've been saying that on the podcast. Like, I'm trying to figure out a new way to do this. But, like, legitimately, I really am now. Which also, like, means, you know, I have a lot of stuff booked. I could tell you this right now. I'm definitely not going to do all those dates that I have booked right now. I just can't. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. But what I am going to do is start doing more things here in Las Vegas. I've got connections. I know people. Chris has seen it. You know, we have hookups here in downtown. I'm going to start doing shows here. I'm going to start laying some roots here and pulling back on the travel, you know, to make, unless I'm making the travel really count for big shows, big things. Yes, those will all still be there. But I'm going to do more stuff here, I think.
Good.
What do you think about things like that,
good.
Chris?
About time.
Because in Houston, we had so many shows that we did.
Yeah.
I mean, we did so many cover shows. Like,
cover
god
shows.
Damn, dude. Those, like, top Old City Pub. Shouts out. That's like...
bread and butter.
They put, like, the... It's like, we were the strippers and you put us through college type of situation.
Yeah.
Like, that
paid,
was...
That paid for my our first... Because we self-released everything that we've done. And... the money we were making there paid for PAs, it paid for drums, it paid for tours, it paid for records.
It paid for
hotels, it paid for just by playing a bunch of covers for a bunch of drunks. But, I mean, we also put out all of our new music,
so just like if you, just for, like, to let you know, listeners, like, those kind of gigs are... four sets. These are like the all night gigs. Like, you get there, you start at 9 and you're done playing at 2. And, you know, it's like 45, 50 minute sets, four of them.
15 minute breaks.
10, 15 minute break. Back at it. And
we got tighter and tighter doing them.
Oh, man. It was the best, like, way to woodshed and hone our craft, because we were. Not only practicing regularly, like, all our original stuff. It wasn't like we were like, well, we're a cover band now. No, we were doing all our original stuff. We learned all these covers so that we can make money to put our original. But we did. We played them, like, very fast. We did different arrangements. But you're talking about playing 86 songs in this set, which I've spoken about before. And it did make us tired, because then we were fucking... maniacs, or maybe I was a maniac telling you, like, when we get back, we work at Starbucks in the morning,
we'd open,
we'd go to the taqueria, Mm-hmm. Get some tacos. Start with a Cosame or whatever the fuck. What were we drinking there? Cosame.
No, I think it might be Sol. What was it, Sol?
It wasn't Sol. Are you was sure? It? I thought it was...
Pacifico? No.
Pacifico. We would drink Pacificos.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure, dude.
I don't know. It's whatever she actually had in
stock. She had. Anyway, we start there.
She probably got it from her car and just...
Probably, dude. Or, you know, who cares, dude? She was awesome or something. Something else shouts out. We do that. We go to your house, around which is around the corner, and do a little warm-up, couple few warm-up songs, and then play all 86 songs that we're going to play that night right then.
Yeah.
Like, we would play the whole thing all the way through. Get done.
Break down.
Break everything. Like, people like, and I'm like, this is not like, oh, we put our guitars and drums in the car and left. We had to break the entire PA down, which monitors. Is like two mains, two monitors, a board, the power amp, all the cords, mm-hmm. mic stands, mics, all this stuff. Rugs. Loaded all in the car.
Not enough bars have rugs for drummers.
Hey, drummers need to set their shit up on rugs. Because otherwise, it just moves around. Or, you know, so
always scratch your fancy floors.
Yeah, or it gets fucked up. So you have to think about all these things. So we would do that. We'd get there. Then you take everything out. You set it all back up. Sound check your shit. Uh-huh. Get a beer or two. Get a quick smoke in the parking lot. And then you just fucking have to start.
Set up the merch table.
Set up the merch table and just fucking start. And a lot of people came out and supported us on those things. Just friends, just to hang out. And that was amazing. And I'm very appreciative of that. But those kind of shows just, you know, they were almost a necessity for us back then. It did all the shit that Chris listed off earlier that he said it paid for, it did pay for all of that. That's how much these shows made. I don't know if they pay that much now. It seems like with the price of inflation, it would be more. But I don't think they
started cutting us out because they could hire a DJ to do 4 hours for less.
Yeah, that's right. So it's like the AI argument now. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, that's why they started phasing that out at these bars. But we would still do. We did Jive Bar, Sad Molly's, Sad Molly's a couple times.
Yeah.
But Jive then became our new. Cover place, and that lasted for a little while.
We also did the Molly's Downtown.
We did that once. That was nuts. That one was crazy because I was just, that was the one show that I know was completely blacked out for the fourth set. Completely. And I'm not bragging, like, that's not like a point of pride. I turned around and kicked Chris's drum, like, snare over.
We were done because my stuff got kicked. We still had songs left.
Kicking stuff over. But people were like, that was before I learned how to, balance it. Because people were like just bringing so many shots up to us.
Because like, at a certain point, you had to stop taking them or just sitting there or like.
Yeah, because you can't do that. You learn. Because you think you can. At first, you're like, everyone's buying you shots. You're like, people are lighting your cigarettes. You know, you're fucking, vote for me, motherfucker. You know, it's awesome. But then you realize, like, I can't drink shots and then play, like, three more sets. What's wrong with you people? Like,
everyone gets to go home whenever you want.
We have to do this.
We got to get paid. We have to load out. We have to drive home.
But, yeah, we got lost in the moment, you know, sometimes. But you learn. It's part of it. It's part of the learning. That we've done with this band. We've learned a lot and we've done a lot. And that one was crazy. But Jive Bar then like tried to jive turkey us some pay.
Oh yeah, because they wanted to pay we paid these bands this much,
I'm sorry that this chair keeps squeaking, everybody that's listening. I'm trying to get it situated.
It's two people.
But like I talked about this on the podcast, if you've listened for a long ass time, you know, one of the nights after it happened, and this is, you know, and if you fucking think I'm wrong or out of line, then hit me up, let me know. But this was how that this bar did it. They were like four sets, 9 to 2, just like, you know, we were talking about. And they said that they would pay $100 a man up to four men, right?
Yeah, that
four people in the band. So, and I was like, wait, so are you saying that because there's only two people in our band, Chris and I, we play all 4 hours and we only would get $200, but if I have someone up there also playing the triangle and someone with the kazoo in, you know, in their mouth, fucking deep throating it, we would get $400? And they're like, pretty much like, well, like, you know, not that, but yeah, you know, that's Coco in the background making noises. But like, yeah, that was it. And I was like, well, then why don't you just give us we're just two people doing the exact same job. So give us all 400. You have a budget of 400.
Yeah.
Just give it to us. What the fuck is the problem? And
or like if bands had more than four people, you gave the same 400.
Oh, she just spilled your beer.
Oh, no.
Coco, you bitch.
That's all right.
That's okay. You keep talking. Let me get a towel. Tell them.
This is going to be nothing but radio silence.
No, because they like, no, because it's fucked up. That, like, yeah,
if you had four or five people, you get the 400, you pay them out accordingly. It's like, but like when I've played bands before.
What if you do have like a fucking 6-piece band because you're like a country act or something?
Yeah, that's.
Then they only get, yeah, four, like, yeah, I'm sorry.
Or fiddle players cost more money, and so like you'd have to take less if you wanted to fiddle. I don't know. It's just like, it's. But I guess what is it? Equal rights, equal pay kind of thing, I guess. I don't know.
The fuck? No.
I'm going down a wormhole now.
We don't are, but I'm
don't
also...
Don't leave me the mic.
No, but I like to let people know, like, that's what you're dealing with. That's the reality of those situations. And it's not really ever always fair or whatever. So, you know, you get to put the tip jar out there. Hopefully if you have a shirt or something or, you know, maybe... As us being an original band, we were able to put our records out there.
Yeah,
like
we were good at pushing
stuff. So, you know, but sometimes they don't, or you're struggling. So if you are at a bar, your local bar, and there is a cover band or somebody playing, they have a tip jar, go throw them a
few dollars.
Throw them the small five or a 10 if you can. I mean, it goes a long way. It really does matter. It truly does. All of that shit. Because
you've been paid to stop playing songs before.
Yeah, I that was, what was that place called that you and Brad were working at? The pub hub or whatever. And I told this story before too. These guys were like not having me playing, like, because they were, first of all, just not, they weren't expecting someone to be setting up and playing at this bar. And also they were like, fuck you, you suck. And they're like, we'll give you $20 to stop. But then this other guy was like, I'll give you $40 to keep going. So I did. And that was awesome.
And I still paid you.
Yeah. Those were fucking gravy days. Those were the salad days, dude. That was a once a week and once or once every 2 weeks I would go to that place and get. But then I found out Brad was also keeping $100.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he was giving me like $2. And he was supposed to be giving me $3 and he was keeping the other one.
I was paying more than him. But I was closing that night.
Yeah, but he was, I found that out. But that's just how he is. He was or whatever. But, you know, hey, at least that was some good money. I used a lot of that money on tattoos.
You got free food.
I got a free meal.
You got free meal. You got free booze.
I got free booze.
And yeah, you did all of a sudden get heavily tattooed.
Yeah, I kept all that money. Like, I got my chest done with that. I got my stomach done with that money. Good times, dude. Those were great times. But I think, Chris, I think we should, you know, we were talking about the new album. I think that we should play a song from the record here on the podcast for everyone to listen to, one of the songs. What do you think about that?
Okay.
We're going to play, this is a song from the record. If you're on the Patreon, you got to hear a song called Worth It early before it released. Now everything is streaming everywhere, so you can search it and check it out. But you know, if you're just listening to the podcast, cruising along, maybe you haven't heard it, we're going to play a song here. This is from our new, the new John Wayne is Deckard. Deckard?
Deckard, yeah.
John Wayne is Dead record. Who Hurt You? This is a song called Murder Scene. Check it out.
Bury me on Sunday. by then I'll be just skin and bone. Take back your crystal face, the wooden snake, you killed me with that. The silver can all go back in the drawer. We don't need it anymore, cause now I'm done. You hate the sun. You were sick so beautiful when I lost you to the stars. When the spiders came and took you back to Mars. And the whole thing was a setup, one star. Now it's just a mercy. With you holding a knife over me, I don't need no tombstone. Just leave me in an unmarked grave. The less you remember me, the better off you're sure to be. And if I stay, I'll only curse the light. I stay out all night, so I can't be. You say you hate the sun. You were sick so beautiful when I lost you to the stars. When the spiders came and took you back to Mars. And the whole thing was a setup from the start. Now it's just a mercy. With you holding a knife for me.
Murder Scene off of our new record, the new John Wayne is Dead record, Who Hurt You? Of course, wonderfully mixed and mastered and helped out on by
talented Morris Hall.
The amazingly talented and effervescent,
I'll say. Yeah, he is bubbly.
Morris Hall.
No, he's not.
Marshall Sanchez, a.k.a. Bomb Studios, Memphis, Tennessee. You know, Chris, we were talking about this earlier because we've been doing nothing, but we've been a lot of rehearsing and it helps. Like we sound tight. We sound good. Like, you know, you get in there and
we've been kind of reworking some stuff.
Had
to get a drum set.
Oh, we have to talk about you getting the drum set. But before we do that, earlier today, you said this, and I think this is important. You were like, you know, good, like, thanks to Marshall, like, you know, he did such a great job with these songs. Like, he kind of, like, breathed new life into them. Or you said helped us to fall in love,
Yeah, because, we were playing them, burnt out, like, some songs. Like, I could go with not playing this song.
Yeah, sometimes got people, like, you play these songs all the time. Sometimes you just don't want to fucking play a song anymore. You're like, God, this one. But, like, maybe Chris likes this one more, so we play it. Or maybe I'm like, oh, my voice sounds pretty on this one. But Chris is like, I hate this fucking song. But it kind of did take that. And sometimes it does take that. And this is, you know, we're also, like, doing a long-distance band relationship here. We're not together all the time. And
their FaceTime,
and you know, that kind of stuff, but it's different. And like, man, Marshall really, you know, he took this stuff and he did help us to fall in love with it again. And that's why we've been talking about it a lot, or I've been putting it on my social media a lot. You know, I'm putting these videos out because we're fucking stoked on it. Coco, what is your deal, dude? Come here. Put in my lap. I got Coco here. Coco is a chihuahua. Who lives with us over here. We've taken her in, Scarlett's aunt's dog. She stays with us mostly. Now, but, all right, you're in my lap.
I don't know if she can see or hear.
I don't know if she can either, but she's here. You know, but sometimes that's what it takes, but we've been, you know, playing these songs, like, super tight. But all the times that you've come up here to play shows or practice, we have been fortunate enough to borrow drums. drum kit from our good friend Roy, Chef Roy up at Berlin. Roy. If you go up there.
Badass dude.
Awesome dude, awesome artist, awesome drummer.
The first time he lent it to me, he's like, I don't know, it's been out and about for a while. I start playing it. As I play it, the heads just start cracking. Like, disintegrating. We played a show, and I busted the head during sound check. And I was like, fuck, I guess I'm not using this drum anymore.
but that's the thing, is like, he was cool enough to like help take care of us. Yeah. So we're like, you know, so just, we didn't have to.
I put new heads, freshened
yeah,
his kit
we,
up.
Yeah, we totally took care of that kit. And we use it several times. And that means that Chris doesn't have to travel with the kit. I don't have a kit here at my place. So it's not, you know, it just made it easier. Now, before Chris was coming up for these shows, it's like the week before or something. And then like,
well, Scott, yeah, I was like, going to like, so with my buddy Chris who and Billy Doom, he was going to lend me his kit on this run. So I was right. just going to bring some cymbals and my whatever I needed, easy to fly with stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, everything's gravy. We don't need to hit up Roy. And then that didn't pan out. Canceled. Yeah,
so then like, all those dates were canceled, like you were saying.
Roy, I need a kit.
Yeah, and Roy's like, I got you. Then, smash cut to like a couple of days before you're leaving.
Yep.
And Roy's car gets stolen with the drums inside of it. That the very drums we were there to borrow. Yeah. Like, the very pants I was returning. It was... So then we were like,
there goes fuck. My Vegas kit.
It's like, well, what the fuck do we do? So, you know, we're still undeterred. We're like, we're going to fucking do this. Watch your beer with that fucking Beer's cocoa empty. Running around. Okay.
It was so already spilled.
We're undeterred. Do you want this one? Here.
Yeah, why not?
There you go.
Oh.
We're undeterred. We're like, well, we're going to find a kit. When you got here.
I started scouring the marketplace.
You're already doing pre-work.
Yeah. And I didn't even like know anything about OfferUp. Scarlett sent me links like, these are drums. She's like, you're right, these are drums. And I started okay. scrolling.
These are drums. This dog has a puffy tail. So, you know, we're undeterred. We're gonna find some drums. You get here late at night on Wednesday, the very day that I was returning my pants when I got home, picked them up, we're ready to go. Thursday, we get up. We're going to get some drums, bitch.
We're finding drums.
We're finding fucking drums. So we start running errands. Like,
We went to like 3 dozen pawn shops.
Not that many. We went to like 3 or 4 pawn shops. Then we went to, and none of the pawn shops had drums at all.
They had like
They would have was cymbals. Like but that was
shittiest cymbals you ever saw in your life.
Just like, yeah, like somebody put some tinfoil together and was like, here's a cymbal. And like,
yeah, I have a first act kit. Came from Walmart, but it came with cymbals. I'm going to sell these to the pawn shop and buy some dope. I don't know.
I was trying to like, if anybody out there knows why drums are not pawned a lot, drop us a line. Let us know.
I see them all the time in Houston, though.
I don't know. But that was something we saw at all of these pawn shops. There was no drums. And I was like, well, is it just because drummers are too lazy to bring all the drums in? Or like, it's a lot of
the one guy
shit.
Said, we don't pay very much for them.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. But like, so anyway, we're striking out left and right. So then we go, accordions. They had guitars, fucking piccolos. You could
banjos.
Fucking play the slide whistle at your first communion if you wanted to. They had all of that stuff. But we go to Sam Ash, which is like a guitar set,
really
like a
don't
music
like that
set. Yeah, it's not the best, right? So we've gone there before to get shit. We go there again.
Only because it's convenient.
It's convenient. It's close. It's in
I
a pinch. It's something
there.
I'll do in a pinch.
I've got sticks there. I've got moon gels there. Mm-hmm. Like stuff I need that I forget or just have to come get it. It's convenient.
It's there. It's convenient. Whatever. Dude, it's in the neighborhood. So we went there. Not only do they not like, there's nothing.
The past few times that I went there was tons of used drums.
There were. So I guess, like, whatever, maybe there's an influx and whatever they have, people bought them. But not only did they not have, like, a great selection of used drums, the prices were, like...
Their prices were high, but
they
didn't have a lot of
like,
regular drums. Like, good.
Yeah, like,
it
was like,
either
what the
like,
fuck is going on
it was
here?
Either, like... And what, like, entry-level kits where you, like, you know, you can be out the door for, like, $300 or $400. They were charging, like, $600 or $700.
Yeah, it was...
Or they had nothing in between except for collector's editions of DW.
$1,300.
No, like, $3,500, $4,500.
Oh, yeah, they had those
like,
two. Yeah. It was
I was like, I don't... And he's like, what's the problem? Where's your budget? I was like, well, if I wanted to,
So our budget was whatever. And his answer was like, welcome to Vegas, yeah. Las Vegas. And then he's like, well, I got a whole warehouse behind me, so let me look. And he's like, oh, we don't have anything back there.
Yeah, there's nothing cheap enough for you. There's nothing cheap enough for you.
So whatever. But this guy, like, we dealt with him before. No names, no whatever. But he was creepy last time we were there.
Yeah, he was.
And he's putting the hard pressure. We're trying to walk out the door. He's giving Chris his home phone number. Like, I might have something for you.
He came up and got me. He's like, if you don't find nothing but tonight, I took in this kid I'm repairing, and I'm going to sell it to you for this.
But he also knew nothing about it.
I'm like, what type of kid is it?
I don't know. I just got it.
He's like, I just got it. I was like, it's got heads in on it and everything else. He's like, no, it's just drums, shells. It's just the hardware.
I just got it. I'm like, you know what?
You have all the hardware? You have the pieces? I had the pieces. He's like, I have no heads. I know nothing about it.
So if I took in a guitar or an amp from somebody, even if it was generic, I would still know what the fuck it was. I'd be like, I took in this Epiphone or I took in this whatever amp. My thought was like, this motherfucker is gonna wait. Like, if you call him, like, "Hey man, can we come get that kit?" He's gonna rip something off out of the back of the warehouse and just pass it off to you and be like, "Hey, yeah, this is what I had at home." Because that's what he knew no details about it at all. He took in a kit, but he knows nothing about it. What the fuck does that mean, dude? Did you give money to?
And he was like, "Well," I was like, "Well, how much is the kit?" He's like, "I know it's in your budget." But you know, like
it was in our budget. He was trying to like pitch us in a budget or under, and like, I think it was, like I said, this guy was, he's a creepy dude, but that's how it is.
And the only time, we drove all the way down across town to the Guitar Center looking for used stuff. And that was the only time I've actually had a pleasant experience at a Guitar Center. Cause the guy was willing. He's like, if you're willing to wait, I'll find you whatever you're looking for.
Okay, cool. So let's give the a little bit. That was a big Guitar Center and a lot of stuff. And we were in the drum section. We're looking. There was a couple kits that did not have prices. So we wanted to get the range on those. We couldn't find anybody. They're busy. But then we get a manager that's helping. They're bringing in a display or something. And he's like, hey, do you guys need any help? Can I help you out? And like Chris starts asking his questions. And he's like, this is that. And then he starts asking us questions. Well, what do you need? What's your budget? Because I can look in the system and if you give me like 2 or 3 days, I can get something here in your budget. And we were like, we don't have that kind of time. And he was like, okay, well, if you know, you change your mind, if you do have time, I'm happy to help you do that. So he was super ass nice. I don't know. Maybe he was drunk. Who knows? But he was extremely nice and wanted to be helpful. You're right. But that still didn't help us.
No, but the whole time I was having a conversation on OfferUp, like just because I created
an OfferUp for people who don't know is like a app that could sell things on.
Yeah, so Scarlett told me about it, and I was like, Scarlett, she was awesome. She was messing with these people because I had no account set up. I would just scroll it, and she has like a whole bunch of history on it because you build stars and fate. Feedback and stuff.
And this is also something that you can, because when I moved from Houston to here, Scarlett helped me with that as well. This is also something where you can be like, hey, I have this couch for free if you come pick it up. And people will just come, like, I'll be there in 5 minutes. You know, they come pick your shit up and it's gone. So, like, it's that too.
I created an account and I was messaging all these people about drums, but I was like, man, I'm not getting replies, maybe because it's a new account and, like...
To be fair, because you had, like, that dick pic as your profile.
Oh, you're right.
I was like,
it should have been bigger.
Yeah, I was like, well, first of all, it wasn't you anyway, and you still picked a small dick. And then I was like, what are you doing, dude? And then you switched it, and then you started getting all kinds of replies. Now, so you're talking to this dude.
And he finally, I was like, I saw you have tons of posts, different drums, not cymbals. Maybe we can work out some kind of package deal. And he's like, didn't get back to me.
We had a particular kit we saw on there that was in your budget.
It was.
And it had all the pieces you needed.
It's a nice Tama kit. Sounds great.
And it was like, okay, that kind of was what, how we got, let's dig deeper into this guy.
I went to his profile and it was just like, listing of like cymbals, stands, e-drums,
just all
PA
kinds of
speakers,
stuff.
Just like drums. I was like, it looks like you had a lot of drums and stuff. He's like, I got so many drum sets. That's what he responded to me.
So then we go from the Guitar Center to his house. We set up a meeting and he's like, come on over. I've had that kit that you're looking at, but I have some other stuff if you want to take a look at it too. And we're like, okay, whatever. So then we drive out to that guy's house. And we get there, and...
Because I wasn't sure if, like, you know, maybe he's going to be outside with the baseball bat and just, like, take
the money. I know you said that, but I was like, it's still daytime. We look tough. We get up there, you ring the doorbell, and instead of him answering the door, the garage door starts to go up. And it's like, as it goes up, it reveals, and I don't know if I can even do it justice, but like, 1 to 200,000 drum kits inside, like stacked from bass drum up, like bass drum, tom, snare, and then floor to ceiling.
Bass drum to bass drum to bass drum, where it was just
In it, like with a little path that you could weave in between.
And there was piles of hardware.
You better not snack at night or you're not fitting through that fucking path, dude. There were
speakers.
It was the drums that were so... He had many drum kits.
I never seen so many. That's better inventory than, like, Guitar Center.
Oh, yeah. He had more inventory. And he was very cool. As Dom the drum guy. We'll give him a shout out.
From Hawaii.
We'll give him a shout out.
Been here for 20 years, he said.
And he also was like... And while we were there... Another dude pulled up that was buying a cymbal from him.
Yeah.
So this guy's just wheeling and dealing these kits all the time. And what was also cool about him was he was like, a couple of cool things. He said, buy this kit, take it, play it, whatever. If you want to upgrade, just bring it back and trade it towards a better kit.
Yeah, the next kit.
And then, or he was like, if you guys get into a pinch again and you have like a gig that day and you need, I'll just loan you a kit.
Loan you a kit.
To play the gig.
Play.
So, like, that was amazing. That was cool. So, I gotta say, like, you know, you hear a lot of horror stories about buying shit online. I got ripped off, like, or whatever. But this guy was, like...
Like, legit trying to help.
Legit, like, he seemed like, yes, like, he was trying to help people. He wasn't just... Because even we went back, because then you got the kit.
I got a sweet Tama.
Badass kit. I think it looks slick, and I think it sounds great. I'm not the drummer, you are.
No, I did get a couple cymbals that day, too, because we saw some cymbals, so we kind of talked about, hi-hats, which was good, because I didn't realize how cracked my backup set of hats that I traveled with.
Yeah.
Which I'll tell you about in a second, but it's like, and I bought a crash cymbal. Because I only brought a 15-inch crash, but I like the 18s, so I bought an 18-inch crash cymbal. And then we get home, I set up everything, and then the tom arm is too fat for the mount on the bass drum. Like, it's just slightly off. It's Tama.
Basically just the wrong piece of equipment.
It was the older piece of Tama in Japan versus the Taiwan stuff. But it didn't fit. So he's like, we tried to get him to come over here, but it was like rush hour traffic and late. And like, he's like, I gotta do this. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. So we went, yes, the next day at high noon. He's like, come at noon. And when I wake up,
yeah.
I said, cool. We'll be there at noon.
We were. And we went to get that new piece, but then you also ended up trading some cymbals.
I brought two cymbals. I brought the crash that I brought and my ride that I was gonna bring, but it didn't sound good with the crash that. The new one that I got in the hats just didn't match. I mean, I brought a ping ride. This is what I had. But, like, it just wasn't meshing with the our style of music. So, I brought it, and I was trying to wheel and deal and, like, to get a new ride. So, he brought a whole bunch of rides out, was showing me these rides. I was trying them.
Listening. Like, this dude set up a stand in his driveway just for Chris to, like, put the different rides and cymbals on to play them. We're like in the suburbs, dude. It's noon 01, and we're out there, like, Chris is out there, like, smashing, like, crashes and bells, like, and stuff. Cool.
We ended up working the deal. I got some money back because I traded.
Traded another cymbal. Traded some cymbals.
I traded two cymbals, got money back, got the cymbal out the door, and was with whatever I spent. And it sounds good. This kid, I need to put heads on it.
It sounds really good.
Sounds good. Took that lousy Deftone sticker off.
Okay, calm down. I love Deftones. Yeah. It had a Deftones sticker on the kick drum. I took it off.
And I joked, I was like, is this the Deftones kit?
We all had a good laugh. Yeah. But anyway, it's a great kit. But this guy, like, it was nuts. If you follow me on my Instagram, I put it on my story. Or if, like, the new video that we're going to put out soon with all the stuff, all the footage we're capturing right now during Chris's visit. I did get some footage of the crazy drums, so I'm going to probably try to drop that in the video for sure.
But like I traveled, so I flew, upgraded my carry-on to an overweight bag, spent $125 on a 75-pound bag. But in that bag,
yeah,
I put a snare drum, a bass drum pedal,
yeah,
two cymbal stands,
yes,
a drum throne.
See.
A snare stand.
Guess go say.
Hi-hat stand.
Ooh la la.
And some cardboard in between it.
Avec moi.
Yeah. And it's 75 pounds. I brought all my light hardware. Like some cool Lugwood, like old Lugwood stuff.
Yeah.
I found a note from TSA. Said, we searched your bag. It looks like bombs.
You've got, this bag is super fucking heavy. Super heavy. Of course we're going to look in it.
Yeah. You paid $125 to ship what?
Yeah. Yeah, they're always going to look at something like that.
No, but it was cool.
But now it's all here. Everything's here.
Full setup here.
We don't need to borrow anything anymore.
Nope. And
we even have our own little PA.
My wife was like, "Oh, you really need, you need to buy you need to have a fourth kid." I was like, fifth kid if you count the E kid.
Okay, you're not helping. You weren't helping your own cause right there. You fucked up.
Like, but no, I'm glad to have a kid here and I don't have to borrow. And
yeah, now we know. If
Roy wants to use it, he's welcome to it.
It's like, here, and now it's like, it's just something we don't have to worry about. But we do appreciate, like, you know, Roy taking care of us. Yeah. The people that have helped us out along the way have been amazing.
And I'm playing one of my favorite snares, Trash Snare.
Trash Snare, dude.
It's a 70s Ludwig that we found in a dumpster outside of San Antonio that I rehauled.
We quick recap of this story. One of the tours, one of our first tours.
I would have took more pieces, but there's no more room.
We're touring. We're in my element, right?
But we had...
Did we have Bobo or Adam?
I don't know. I
can't remember which one was with us. But we're... What happened?
We were there. We got there early and there was no park, so we parked behind the business. Yeah. And we're getting rid of all the empties and like all the trash that was in the car.
That's right. We couldn't load in yet. And in the dumpster was like a whole drum kit in the dumpster.
And I crawled in there and like, if we had more room, I would have took every, probably some metal, I don't know, it was two bass drums.
We took the snare.
I took some hardware, I think.
Took some hardware.
But
basically almost the whole kit.
No, I didn't take the kit. The black kit that I play at home, the Pearls, I bought on Craigslist.
I don't know, but we got a lot of shit from that dumpster.
Yeah.
And it was probably like where it was in that dumpster, people probably because a band left it there
for so long
that they were like, we're throwing your kid out, like, because they don't have anywhere to store it and they didn't give a fuck. Like, and I could totally see that as well. Like, if I was the night manager, I would just be like, just fucking throw it away. Just get the fuck out of here. I don't want to see it anymore, you know? But we reaped the bet. Okay, Coco. Jeez. Coco's over here snoring like she's a fucking...
We're that entrancing.
Yeah, we're that entrancing. Entrancing.
Yeah.
It's the essence of surprise. Shouts out Scarlett. But yeah, so you got that. But no, we have the kit here. We have everything. We're set up. So, you know, more stuff is going to happen out in this way. You know, I think, you know, we'll land this.
I'll be back this way in June.
Yeah, you have a few times, but we'll talk about it, of course, with plenty of time. But, you know, everyone out there listening, please, you know, check out John Wayne is Dead on Spotify or whatever you stream, Apple Music,
Yahoo, grab a t-shirt Tidal. And tape so I can pay myself back for this drum kit.
Anyway. Check that out. The new album is called Who Hurt You. When you search John Wayne is Dead, it's all one word, no spaces, just so you know. All the links are on johnwayneisdead.com under the music section if you want to do that. But we're super stoked on this record. That's why we keep talking about it. And even if you're to the point of like, I wish this guy would stop talking about this new fucking record, I'll listen to it already. That's good for me. Because I think you're going to like it. We put a lot of work into it. Producer put a lot of work into it. We're out here. We're slinging it. We're trying to, you know, we're doing the thing. And we want to come to your town and play these songs. So look to that in the future. In the meantime, check us out. JohnWayneIsDead.com for all of your John Wayne is Dead needs as far as the band goes. And then, of course, my books are up there. I know there's a lot of things that are sold out right now, but I'm in the midst of a restock, so check back soon. Remember to follow me at John Wayne is Dead on Instagram and TikTok, where all kinds of stuff is going down. Follow my Patreon, John Wayne is Dead, patreon.com/John Wayne is Dead. Check out Chris Jett.
My Instagram is Chris is a Jet.
At Chris is a Jet. And please check us out.
Chris with a K.
Chris with a K, that's right. K-R-I-S. That's right. That's right. Chris with a K. And please, if you stream music anywhere, stream the album, check it out, and pick up a cassette while they last. And like I said, the vinyl's coming out on Bishop Records in about 2 months, so you can get a vinyl as well. In the meantime, we love you. Thank you, Chris, for being here on the show.
What's my cut?
Your cut is you're cut off now. Thanks. Bye.